Hi, I'm Maureen Ciaccio, your host for the Ask a Sustainable Builder podcast. Our guest today is Tom Riccadelli, President and CEO of SelectTech, a flooring manufacturer dedicated to using recycled materials and creating products that are, in turn, recyclable. SelectTech is located in the greater Boston area. While SelectTech focuses on flooring for commercial use, they have a unique residential product that has quite a few benefits while being environmentally friendly and healthy. And the story of how the company was formed and grew over the last 27 years is remarkable. So let's get to our featured guest, Tom Riccadelli. Thank you, Tom Riccadelli, for joining us today. Can you please give us an idea of your product that you have for homeowners that is very unique because it is both made of recyclable material and it is recyclable itself. And that's going to be what I think most people listening to this podcast would be interested in. But we also want to hear about your commercial line and how it started. And it's all a very interesting story. So if you could tell us a little bit about your residential product first, that would be great.
Sure. Yeah. So our core technology we call Freestyle, and for the residential market, we brand it Place and Go. It's a square tile with what we call a hidden interlock. So there are two edges that stick out from the bottom and the other two edges overlap. So when you assemble it, it doesn't look like it's an interlocking tile. The product is sort of a multi-layered thing. The top layer has the decorative visual and can be just about anything. We have wood grain, stones. Because it's a square, the stones tend to be sort of more appropriate for the shape. It looks really good. We use very high quality visuals. The top of that has a very durable finish layer, so it maintains really well. And the body of the tile, which is really the bulk of the mass of the product, is recycled material. It takes us back to our roots. We were started as a recycling company. Our goal was to create products using recycled materials, so this tile is born from that. From a flooring perspective, it's a flexible tile. It's 5/16 of an inch thick, which is thick. Gives it some heft, some resiliency. It'll cover irregular surfaces. The interlock's designed to go together easily and over irregular surfaces, and that's not such an easy thing to do from an engineering standpoint. And because of the thickness, and it's got sort of the way the tile's built, the body of it underneath is like a waffle pattern. It gives it a lot of insulation value. So for a home, it's very comfortable, even though it's a quote unquote hard surface, and it's warm. So, the market that we've really done better in the residential side is basements. It's a really nice product for basements. It's completely waterproof. You can submerge it. Nothing bad happens to it. And the interlock is designed in a way where it's very easy to pick it up and put it back down. So, we have customers that they get a flood in their basement for one reason or another, even though it's maybe something that they don't usually get. They pick up the tile, clean them off, put it back down. So it's really nice from that standpoint.
Yeah, that sounds like a big plus, especially because it's, it sounds perfect for basement floors. It sounds like it could do well in other areas too, but it sounds like it's exactly what you need. It's like it's worry-free in that sense too.
Right.
You had mentioned that it was made of a certain percent of recyclable material, and then it is recyclable itself. How is it recyclable itself different than other flooring, and how does that work?
Yeah, so when we developed the product, like I said, it has a decorative top surface and a nice wear layer, but we were really cognizant of using similar materials in every layer. So it's all a flexible vinyl. The body of it, which is the body, as I said, is 100% recycled content. And then we put the finish layer on it, but it's all flexible vinyl. So when you're done with it, we can grind it up, melt it down and make new tile body with it. It's all the same material. The other, unique thing from a recyclability standpoint is it's not glued to the floor. And like I said, it's pretty easy to take up. So, if you had a recyclable material that was glued to the floor, it's kind of impossible to get it off without glue contamination and all that kind of stuff. So recycling glued down floors is really not possible. But with our product, it's pretty, like I said, it's pretty easy to pick it up. And we'll actually pay to take the material back. There's a value to us for it. And we have what we call a take back program. We've had some homeowners take advantage of it. With our product's been in the market for long enough now that we've had some, not very much, but, and then like you mentioned earlier, we do sell commercially and we try to make it a point because in the commercial market, there is there are programs through LEED to provide builders with value for that. And, we have a written program. So we actually encourage people to send us back their cutting waste. So when they're putting the floor in, they have trim waste. We want it back.
Wow.
Well, again, we'll pay for it and we use it. It's of value to us. And I think it's good for everybody.
Yeah, that's great. So the original recycled materials, is that 100% recyclable or recycled? Or is that, different things?
Yeah, like I said, the body of the tile, which is hidden underneath the decorative layers, is all recycled. The decorative layers are virgin materials because they have to look good and all that and be clear and clean and all that. So, but the body of the tile is 100% recycled content. We source it from companies that collect it and grind it and mix it up to get it to be the right properties that we need. We have good relationships in the market now. We've been at it long enough.
That's great.
Back in our origins, we actually would grind and collect ourselves, and we were actually sort of bit off too much. So there are companies now, and as recycling has grown over the last decade or so, there are companies that have specialized in collection and sort of processing is what they call it, and they just were better at it than we were. So we gave that part up and now we buy from them.
That's great. That whole thing is a mystery to me. I recycle everything. I put it out, gets taken, or I bring it, if it's extra, I bring it to the recycling location. What happens to it after that? It's just, it's kind of a mystery. So when you were, when you started recycling it initially yourselves, how did you do that? How did you collect it, and what kinds of things were you able to use?
Yeah, I mean, we actually got a lot of different things from post-consumer to post-industrial waste materials. For the tile, it's flexible vinyl. Now, homeowners don't recycle flexible vinyl. They don't put that out in their bin. So we had to get that from companies. Mm-hmm. Originally when we started with flooring, we were recycling particular type of carpet that has a vinyl backing. Uh-huh. It's called carpet tile. And we were recycling that, and it was pretty innovative. We would get the post-consumer, we would get carpet and grind it up and mix it to the appropriate, composition, and then melt it in our machine and form new tiles. And since then, now we're using some other types of materials. The companies we buy from are recycling roofing liners and old wire or waste from wire manufacturing, different things, medical tubing, waste from the manufacturer of medical tubing. We don't use post-consumer medical tubing because that has infectious control kind of things associated with it. But yeah, so it's just evolved over time. And from a homeowner standpoint now, it's like you just said, it's gotten so, we have single stream in my town. You put everything in one bin and you're wondering, how the heck do they separate it and make any value out of it? But there's a facility near my office here that does that. It's, some of it's very manual. They have a lot of people pulling things out of a thing, and some of it's automated where they can pull stuff off with magnets for metal, and then they can actually separate plastics by their density. They put it in literally tanks of water, and they can control the density of the water with additives, and certain things float and certain things sink. And then, so there are ways to do it.
Interesting. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's cool. Right. And like you said, now they're specialized, so you can let them do that part of it. So what actually got you interested in, you mentioned something about you wanted to you wanted to use recycled materials to manufacture something. What mm-hmm. led you to flooring?
Oh, so with flooring, I mean, we got into the business, business partner and I, we worked for a company that was trying to recycle medical waste, literally medical waste. And it was pretty interesting. We built a factory in Chelsea, Mass, and we actually were producing a plastic, not product, but plastic. And we were going to try to resell that plastic, but it had very minute levels of, they called it contamination, but it's little bits of say wood or paper, latex material, not like, when I say contamination, not hazardous in any way, it's just not the kind of plastic you wanted. And so it was literally impossible to sell this plastic to anybody else. So we came up with the concept that, well, if we had a manufacturing process that could accommodate those contaminants and figure out what product would also accommodate having a little bit of plate paper in it or a little bit of whatever, then we would have something of value and give us as a company the ability to use a lot of materials that aren't being used. Mm-hmm. So sort of win-win. We could find low-cost materials, make good, valuable products with them, but also solve a problem, right? Keep this stuff out of the landfill.
Right.
So we were able to put together the technology and a business structure for that. And again, our goal was really to sort of be a matchmaker, find these materials, figure out what could be made with them, but then find other companies that would sell it. We didn't really want to be in the business of selling products. We kind of wanted to be a matchmaker with a technology. And we were approached by a DuPont business that was trying to recycle carpet, the waste carpet I mentioned earlier, and they wanted to turn it into a new flooring product. So we worked with them to develop our product and started, you know, in the process of perfecting them, getting it into the market, relying on the DuPont business to sell it. And, you know, it seemed like we were getting off the ground with it all. And then that whole division, it was a piece of a bigger division at DuPont. And that bigger division was sold to the Koch brothers. And the Koch brothers decided that they didn't want the piece that we were involved in, and they shut it down. They just stopped doing it. And so we were like, oh my gosh, we just lost a major portion of our business. And at that point, from a business standpoint, we were in trouble. We had to make some hard choices. And we actually felt like the thing that was about to kill us was really the direction we wanted to go in. So we stopped doing all the other things we were doing. We were making decorative planters, and we had this really cool landscape timber that looked like an enormous Lego block. Mm-hmm. We made a lane divider system that's still out by the airport. I see pieces of it all the time. So it's very durable, we made a really nice product. But we stopped doing all of that, and we became a flooring company. And part of that, we had to change our mentality of not wanting to sell anything. We had to learn how to sell flooring. Hmm. So we had to sales and marketing and developing a channel and sales partners. And it was a long, difficult path, but we've done it. And so here we are.
Right. And so the residential section is a small part of what you do. Most of it mm-hmm. is commercial. It has other benefits because you can put other benefits like static control into mm-hmm. I assume is good for companies that deal with a lot of electronics, maybe. Mm-hmm. That's your main, kind of your main, the main thrust of your business. Then you sell the residential product online, and people find it and buy it. So when they find it online, do they, mm-hmm. Is it something they can install themselves, or do they need to do something special with cutting it, like somebody who's putting in tile? They need to hire somebody to do that?
Most of our customers put it in themselves. It's actually the easiest self-install product, I think, in the market. Our interlock was designed, the interlock itself is designed to go over irregular surfaces. Most other, what they call free-floating DIY type products, they kind of have to be on a really flat surface. So you have to make sure your subfloor is prepped properly. With our product, it's not so much the case because of, again, the nature of the interlock is designed to be flexible and robust. So our customers put it in themselves mostly. Sometimes they'll hire, you know, they might have a handyman. They just don't want to do it themselves, and that's okay too. But it's very, very easy to put in.
Mm-hmm. And take up and put back in again, et cetera.
And take up and put back. Yeah. Oh, yeah. We've had plenty of customers move it. You know, they move and they take the floor with them.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
It's amazing. Yeah. Yeah. Thought of that. So if you get something that has less or similar square footage in a room, you just take it with you. And I mean, the line is stable. You can buy a few more tiles if you need it. Wow, that's amazing. Does it go over? It doesn't go over carpet, right?
It can, yeah. So, you know, especially on the commercial side, we do, and on the static control side, we've developed a version of our product where we put conductive materials into the tile. And so it will take a charge from a person to ground, right from your body through the floor until a grounding point. And again, for electronics manufacturing, that's important. But we'll do a lot of electronics labs. So you might have a company that has an office with the really flat carpet in it, and they may be, they're leasing the building and they don't want to rip the carpet out because then they have to put it back when they leave. Mm-hmm. Or the lab might be temporary or whatever. So they put our product right on top of the carpet.
Oh, wow.
It works fine. Yeah.
Right. So on one of those thin industrial type carpets, it will work on top of the carpet.
Yeah. Works fine. Yeah.
Interesting. So there's also, you know, one of its other advantages is it is healthy. It is low VOC. Could you explain a little bit about what VOC is?
Yeah. So VOC stands for volatile organic compounds, and plastics are made out of, you know, petrochemicals basically, and they can have organic compounds in them, and sometimes they volatilize, and that's become an issue in the building industry, and it's all controlled pretty tightly. And I mentioned LEED earlier, which is the Leadership for Environmental and Energy Design. It's a set of building criteria that, you know, if you follow LEED, in theory, you have a healthier building. And it covers everything from the content of the things you use to the recyclability of the things you use, to the light you use, to the HVAC system you use. So it's like, it's the whole building, but there are parts for content, material content, and it focuses on using materials in the building that aren't emitting volatile organic compounds because they're not considered healthy. And there's a test that you subject your materials to, and to make sure that you're below any kind of healthy level or, you know, safe level. And we subject our products to that.
Mm-hmm.
I think we were a little anxious about it, honestly, because using recycled materials, you don't have all the control you would have over what's in it. Mm-hmm. Versus using virgin materials. But, you know, again, we're committed to using recycled materials. But, you know, we, with the partners we have, we're pretty careful about the things we source. And then we test our products per this test method to make sure that our VOCs stay below those levels. So they're healthy and all that.
Right. So, and that's the, on your website, you have MAS Green Certified. So they're the testing organization that takes care of that. You were comparing them when we talked earlier about clickboards. I haven't heard of them before.
Yeah.
So these are they go together similarly, not as clicky, or
so our tile's pretty different versus those. The click systems, they look like thin boards.
Mm-hmm.
It's usually like wood grain styles because they come in board shapes. Ours is square, right? So ours is an 18 and a half inch square. The click boards are, you know, 4 to 6 inches wide by 3 to 6 feet long. So they look like boards, and they have sort of this tongue and groove along the edge, and they click together. They're thin. They're, you know, maybe an eighth of an inch thick, something like that. So they're not like our product's really thick. It's, you know, gives it a much heftier thing, but because they're so thin, and the click is really actually the click is thin. If it's a thin product, the little tongue and groove thing can't be thick because the whole thing is thin. It's sensitive and fussy. So it's got to be on a flat, smooth surface. Otherwise it won't go together right. And the way it clicks together, you really can't take it apart. Mm-hmm. So if you wanted to move it, you really can't. It's impossible to take a piece out of the middle. They say you can, but you have to actually cut it out. Our tile, you can literally, you put a suction cup on it and lift it and it goes right out. So it's very simple. And they sell these suction cups at you know, building stores for like $10. They're cheap. And so it's pretty easy to pick up a tile out of the middle. So like if you were to I don't know, spill something really bad or burn a hole in one of the tiles somehow, it's easy to pull it out and replace it. Very easy.
Wow, that's pretty amazing. Yeah, it's good to have that visual comparison because, I don't know, for people who know about the click tiles, they can be able to know what the advantages are and disadvantages compared to that. Would anybody need to be concerned about maintenance of it? How are there any products that don't work with it, or it's just general flooring products that you use to clean it?
Yeah, we use, I mean, the finish layer we use on our tile is sort of the best in the industry. I mean, we're not the only ones that have it, but it's really at the high end, so it's very easy to maintain. If you're just using, you know, typical flooring products to clean and maintain it, it's fine. You don't, like, there are waxes in the market. You don't need that on our product. Again, because we're using sort of the premium finish. So you just clean it. Damp mop, neutral cleaners, detergents. I can't think of, like, I mean, from a homeowner standpoint, there's really not much that you would ruin the floor with. We actually, one submarket that we've done really well with is hair salons. Our product's very stain resistant. Hair dyes are nasty.
Huh.
So it holds up pretty well to those. Yeah, we've done some extensive testing because it was, you know, it's weird. Again, our general markets are more in the commercial side. So some of these other markets that just kind of happen to us. So we started getting some inquiries from hair salons because of the ease of installation. A lot of them want to put it down themselves. The comfort. It's, you know, these people, hairstylists are on their feet all day long. And our floor is very comfortable relative to other, what I call hard surfaces. And so we started selling into this market, and they would tell us, oh my gosh, your floor has done so well relative to our hair dyes and it hasn't stained. And we're like, that's really cool. So then we did some testing ourselves, and we sourced a bunch of different hair dyes and did some in-house testing and comparisons, and it does really well. I mean, it's most hair dyes won't stain it at all. There are some really bad ones out there that if you don't wipe them up right away or you know, within a reasonable amount of time, you might leave a little mark. Mm-hmm. But in general, it's a very, very stain resistant finish. And so it's pretty easy to maintain.
That's interesting. So the residential line is based off of the commercial line. And is it, so it's pretty much almost the same product as maybe some of your commercial products, except for the static reduction?
Yeah, so we have a couple of different versions of our product, the different finishes we put on it. The static control is its own thing. Mm-hmm. It's we have to put static control elements in the body and in the finish, the whole thing. So that's on its own. We do make a laboratory grade version of our product where the finish is a material that's more conducive to labs. Mm-hmm. But then the residential version, we use printed styles. So they look like stone and wood grains. And we do sell that into office space. There are some markets in the commercial arena that do use the same type of finish. But for the residential, we don't use sort of we use a much thicker finish for commercial because it needs basically 10 times the wearability factor in a commercial environment versus a residential environment. So the residential product has a slightly thinner wear layer. It's a little bit less expensive. Mm-hmm. I mean, people could use our commercial version in their home, but they don't really need to.
Right. That's why you have the residential line. Looks better and is appropriate for a house. What else would you like to talk about as an aside here?
You know, I could touch a little bit on the lab market that we service. Again, similar in some regards to hair salons. You know, I mean, stain resistance, chemical resistance is, you know, it's more important in laboratories. But it's interesting that we're seeing labs wanting some of this portability that our product offers. Our product is the most portable product in the market, just because of some of the things I mentioned earlier. And so, you know, historically labs will often use what they call seamless floors, where they use sheet product and they glue it down and they weld the seams between the sheets, but not all labs need that. And more labs are amenable to the portability factor and the quick installation factor that I've mentioned. And then one thing I didn't mention is the way, I did mention the way the tiles overlap. So there are two edges that stick out and the next two edges overlap. You don't see anything. We've developed a proprietary silicone, I want to call it a caulking, but it's been modified somewhat for our use. And you apply that to the tabs themselves. So you don't see it. It just puts, and when you press the tiles together, that silicone cures and makes a gasket. So the tile becomes completely liquid tight. And it's, without it, it's pretty liquid resistant. So you don't really have to worry about stuff getting down and through the interlocks on a normal basis. But if you had a spill of something in a lab, then you really don't want it to get through at all. And you use this silicone sealer that we've developed, and it makes it completely tight. We've had it tested by a big pharmaceutical company, and it works really well. I mean, they were rolling 800-pound cylinders of liquid nitrogen across it, and they ran a scent. They actually built a small room and contained it along the edges and filled it with 3 or 4 inches of liquid water with hair, with a color dye in it.
Wow.
So they could detect it if it leaked. And then again, they did all this stuff on it with the water in there, and it didn't leak. It held up really well, and they decided that they could use our product in some of their labs. It's in another different part of the flooring world. There is this thing called the access flooring, where they build basically a subfloor out of panels. It sits above the basic floor, and then you can run wires underneath and other things. It's called access floor, but when you're using an access floor in a lab, you want what you put on top of it as your finish to seal it off, because the panels themselves aren't liquid tight. You
can right.
just use those as they are. So you put our tile on top of an access floor with the sealer, and you get everything you need. It's a really interesting cool system. Yeah.
Wow,
we're starting to sell more and more of that. Yep.
Compared to what kind of material would they normally put on that?
It's funny. So they put these access floors in, and by the name, they're meant to be accessible. That's what they're for.
Right.
When they need what they call a hard surface, they glue sheet to it, and then you can't access it.
It's right.
The only way to get at it is to cut the sheet off, and it seems backward, right? So often access floors, sort of historically, they use these carpet tiles, which is something we recycle. And the carpet tile is made to fit each panel one-to-one. And then when you put it all together, it just looks like a floor. And pretty easy to pick the panels up because the carpet is on each panel separately. The other thing they can do, which is really, really expensive and time-consuming, is they can take a hard surface material and glue it separately to each panel. There's a lot of cutting waste to that, and it's really labor-intensive. But it's done. Yeah. Our system is just easier. You just snap our tile in over it. You don't care if it lines up to the panels, because it's just covering it, and it's easy to take tiles out,
right,
and get at the panels underneath and do what you need to do. So.
Yeah. And if they have to put the silicone back in to, you know, once they remove that, then it's still watertight again. So,
right. So I didn't mention the silicone's custom formulated, as I did mention, but it's what they call peelable. It comes right out.
Oh.
It's really cool. So you peel it out and it looks just like our interlock. I mean, you actually could leave it in there and it would be a gasket, but we recommend that you peel it out and put down some more.
Huh. Interesting.
But it's not hard to do. Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. That's great. Where do you see yourself going next?
One thing I you might've gotten the sense of is, I mean, from a commercial side, our product and us as a company, we're more geared towards what I call technical flooring. So static control, laboratories, and that's the direction we're staying in. I mean, we're too small of a company to be competitive with the multi-billion dollar companies. And, you know, the mainstream flooring market is very, very price sensitive, and just the scale of the big companies, they can be a lot more cost competitive than we can. On the flip side of that is our product, the way it's made, we're geared towards some of these technical applications. We can add features into our product that they can't. So it's a nice, you know, we can do things they can't, but they can do lots of things we can't. So it works for us. So we're just kind of growing our way in these technical markets. We can see, you know, we've been growing pretty steadily for the last several years, and you know, the laboratory effort for us is looking very promising. One of the things we do, again, because we're technically oriented, and we have a lot of technology sort of know-how in the business and the company, But we try to take leadership roles in the industries we're serving. So from a static control market standpoint, I'm the chairman of the flooring committee at the ESDA, which is the Electrostatic Discharge Association. That's the group that sets the standards for static control, flooring, everything, but all the different things you'd use to control static. And I'm the chairman of a flooring group. So my group writes the standards for flooring, for static control. And again, we do that because, you know, we're trying to make our products better for the market we're serving. And by being involved from an industry standpoint, we get to work with the people that have the biggest issues and understand what their needs are. Mm-hmm. And then we can make our product better for them. So it makes us a better company, but we think we have a lot to offer, you know, in getting involved with writing the standard. We understand the technology really well, so we can help make the standards better. It's win-win. And we're doing the same thing from the laboratory standpoint. We recently got engaged with a group called CEFA, the Scientific Equipment Furniture Alliance, and they're trying to put together a flooring group to write standards for flooring for laboratories. And we volunteered to be the, you know, to head that up. So it's important to us. It takes a lot of work. You know, these are volunteer efforts. I actually have estimated from the static side, I probably commit the equivalent of 2 months of my time to that group. Right. And yeah, I mean, but it's important to us. That's how important it is to us to, you know, it's our business. We want to be the experts at this stuff so that our products can be the best and that we can give back to the industry. Right. So.
And all at the same time, you are, you know, using recyclable products and recycling them. So that's great because, you know, doing that for industry probably makes a much larger impact on the environment than simply doing it for residential.
Yeah. One of the, you know, years ago when we first started, we had socially directed investment in the business. It's different, these different funds and things you get through the state and whatnot. But we still have an involvement with one of them, and every year they ask us how much material we use, and we're millions of pounds a year. It's pretty amazing, yeah, of stuff that we repurpose into tile. Yeah.
If somebody wants to get a hold of this tile, they would go to placeandgo.com.
Placeandgo.com is our residential site. Yep. Our corporate site is selecttech.com, selectch.com. And from there, you can go to any of our submarkets. We have Place and Go as our residential site. We've decided to have dedicated sites for each market. I think it's better or clean. It's a little bit easier for the customer once they find the site that they want, because it has all the information. Like the static control site, we have, it's loaded with good information about static control flooring and our products. And on, but you really, if you were a homeowner, you wouldn't care about any of that. So you go to placeandgo.com and you get everything you need.
Right. Okay. Well, I'll put both of those links in the show notes for the podcast so people can refer to that. And is there anything else you'd like to tell either commercial or residential people out there about where to find you or besides those two websites?
Yeah, no, I mean, we actually spend a lot of time on our websites. We hope they give everybody everything they need. It's just the way the world is, right? So we're always tweaking them. But you can call us. I mean, one of the things we actually do take pride in is that we answer our phone. Uh-huh. I was very, you know, adamant about not having an auto attendant. It's a simple little thing. And mm-hmm. we try to, especially like if you're a reseller or an installer, we try to establish good relationships with people like that because, you know, they have questions and they become, you know, long-term customers. Certainly from a homeowner standpoint, we want to help you. So if you really sort of, I don't know if I can do this myself, call us. We literally will walk you through it. It's simple, but you know, we won't leave you hanging. We answer our phones. It's important to us. We want to give people good customer service.
Well, that's great. Sounds awesome. All right. Well, thank you so much for giving us your time and telling us that really interesting story of how you started and how it's branched out and all the different things you do and how you're recycling all that material and saving that from going to waste and reducing carbon footprint and all that kind of stuff. Thank you very much. I appreciate your time.
Oh, my pleasure.
Hey, I hope you enjoyed that episode as much as I did. I just love that Tom set out to start a business to solve an environmental problem, succeeded, continues to do so, and ended up creating products that are valuable in their own right. You can find out more about Select Tech by visiting their website, which I added to the show notes, selecttech.com, and its residential sales website, placeandgo.com. Please take a minute to review this podcast on your favorite podcasting app and share the podcast in social media so more people can learn how we can build more sustainably. You can also now find this podcast and more information at askasustainablebuilder.com.